Want to get the edge in your Premier League betting predictions? Pinnacle delved deeper into the data behind all of the Premier League matches every single game week. We combine Pinnacle's sharp betting markets with the game's latest analytical metrics to help you find value in the odds. This is EPL Insights. Welcome to another installment of EPL Insights, this for Game Week 22. And finally, it feels like we're back at it. A sense of normalcy, perhaps maybe, with regular Premier League fixtures in the works. I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. Gareth Wheeler alongside Jake Osgathorpe. We've survived the month of January. January is miserable to begin with. But even more so when there's not regular Premier League football. How'd you cope with the cup competitions? What else were you doing with your life, Jake?
Yeah, I didn't cope very well with the cup competitions. I really don't like the FA Cup. Just doesn't do it for me at all, like especially this
don't
year.
I mean, like the FA Cup.
No. I'd rather we just play full Premier League and then just put the cup competition in as a month at the end of the season, just have it over and done with in one go, rather than breaking it up. And plus, there's not been any good ties, or the only upset's been Maidstone, really, that are making the rounds. Everyone else is just kind of as you were, really, and very boring. And even the draw for the next round looks boring. I mean, Man City going away to Luton. Whoopee! We've not seen that already. I'm looking forward to getting back into this Premier League, especially with the staggered winter break thing as well. It just feels like properly disconnected to what's actually happened, what the table looks like, what teams are looking like moving forward. So, yeah, looking forward to getting back to the regular grind.
I sense your enthusiasm. It's infectious in all the right ways, Jake. We'll get into that a little bit. Of course, we're back with a full slate of Premier League fixtures that are coming Tuesday through Thursday this week. We'll have our feature five. We'll deal with the other five games and provide our best bets and loads of them over the course of this podcast. I wanted to speak about January because I wonder how much this does affect the markets for you. This for me was the worst January I can remember in the Premier League. And this has happened for a number of reasons. Asian Cup, AFCON, both going on simultaneously. That was going to have an effect. The fact that this January transfer window, I mean, it's been crickets. It's been silent. And this is a result of FFP, of course. It's not as if some of the big dogs or even teams in the middle or the bottom, a lot of teams are in a position where they need to add. They need to improve. They simply cannot. So the market is completely stagnated. Then the complete lack of Premier League games. Like, look, I'm not as negative about the FA Cup or the EFL Cup as perhaps you are. I enjoy the competition, but it needs to be sprinkled in rather than be the main course over a month. We're going to finish a month of January, Jake, where Bournemouth, Manchester United, Wolves will all have played only one Premier League game, one Premier League fixture in a full month. Now, on the one side of the coin, it's given teams that have been really unhealthy, dealing with a lot of injuries, has given them a chance to kind of take that time to attempt to get back fully fit. It's actually let some teams off the hook that had players that were going to go away on international duty for the month of January. It's let those teams off the hook. I just think that this month, it's something that the Premier League needs to reflect on because generally this is a month where you're kind of busy. You're seeing who's moving where and what impact that might have. I feel like we've been treading water or just in a pause rather than anything else here. Is this something, two questions here. Is this something that the Premier League needs to rethink? And the second question is, what does any of this mean for the market? I feel like even with our most recent plays, a staggered game week in game week 21, five games in five games, it's been very difficult to get a read on anything really. And there might be some abnormalities or some outliers that have taken place over the last month. So two questions. Does the Premier League need a rethink here? And then what does this mean for the markets in the way that you're looking at it?
Yeah, they definitely need a rethink. Like you've said there, to me, it's just felt like an international break this last month. It's felt like a really long international break. The football we've got to watch has been crap. but it's been bitty, it's been broken up. You're watching FA Cup and you're seeing Premier League teams rotating, so you're not even getting to see a full strength side. I think it'll be something that gets scrapped very soon. I really do. I think the irony is that they could have done with this winter break last year when the World Cup was, but it was, nope, we get back from the World Cup and then we've got to smash through all these games. This year, it didn't feel like there was as much cramming around Christmas because of the way the fixture list fell, the way which the calendar fell. So they probably could have just carried on as normal. But yeah, it just really does create a bit of a disconnect, really, between people are following it week in, week out, and it means that you can't keep on track of things. And like I said, you forget that Everton were winless in four, and they're heading into this a bad run of form, and now they're heading into this couple of big games in the Premier League. You're forgetting that if Arsenal, I know we're talking midweek first, but if they lose effectively to Liverpool at the weekend, they're going to be out of the title race altogether. You just forget what kind of states we're in. That's definitely something that needs to change in my book.
Yeah. Even when you're looking, you're trying to look at the markets for this upcoming week and look at recent trends to see how teams are tracking. But when you're playing in these cup competitions against, League Two, League One sides, how much value does it actually have when you're trying to take a look at things from a big picture perspective?
Very little, very little. I mean, we saw Liverpool at the weekend against Norwich and, they played maybe four or five first teamers, but there's a lot of the players that you either never heard of or probably won't be in the first 11 are playing, and it means it's really hard to get a handle on what they're going to look like moving forward into the next match. And cup competitions, I always take them with a pinch of salt anyway. But yeah, effectively, they, given the way in which they've gone as well, the results in the cup competitions, there's been very few upsets. They've almost been treated like friendlies, if you like, for most of the teams. Especially Liverpool in the way in which they dismantled Norwich. I know Man United went great, were they, at Newport, but it was still, in the end, it was a very key, comfortable win. They probably made it harder work than they should have. It just feels like a bit of a pre-season, which I guess is what it's supposed to feel like. Winter break, you go away, you get back, they've been to Dubai and places like that, do some warm weather training to get back up to speed and rest and rotate. And I think the Premier League's hoping that that means that we have a better product at the back end of it. But it just ultimately means that, well, we've got 2 weeks there where we've not had any Premier League games. We've got to find somewhere to put those games because the season's finishing at the same time as usual. So you're having a break, but you're going to cram them in somewhere. Even more so if you get, FA Cup replays and all sorts of stuff like that. So yeah, it's all a bit bizarre.
But so the data heading into this week, it might be a little bit subjective the way that you want to look at it or the way that we want to look at it. There are still players away at AFCON, at the Asian Cup. There's two teams that I've taken a look at, or I am taking a look at, about what the results in the cup fixtures might mean. And that is Liverpool and Spurs. Liverpool are in the EFL Cup final. They got past Fulham over the course of two legs. They remain in the FA Cup. They're, of course, playing in the Europa League. A lot of games building up for Liverpool, the team that's top of the table right now. The other team is the team that sits in fifth place, Spurs. Tottenham are out of every cup competition. All they have to look at is the Premier League, which might be advantageous for them. Are those the two sides that maybe there's some biggest ramifications of what's kind of transpired in the cup competitions thus far?
I think so. Yeah. I probably add Newcastle to the list as well because they've had, a good while break. You've got, they've two good wins in the cup. Away at Sunderland was a big rivalry game. They played well. And then against Fulham as well, against a fellow Premier League team, looked really good. So, yeah, they're probably another team that just, I know they've not been able to spend, they've not really lost anybody, but they could be another one, big beneficiaries of this break period, just to get back fitness and whatnot. Yeah, Liverpool, they are going to have a congested schedule, but I have got to say, I've been very surprised with the depth in their squad. I thought they'd massively struggle with no Salah and no Trent, but no problems whatsoever. If anything, you could argue they've looked a little bit more dangerous up front because they've been rotating a little bit more between the three. And Conor Bradley's come and played really well. Joe Gomez has probably been one of the players of the month recently. So, they could manage it. And obviously, they've got that added incentive of the fact that it is Klopp's last season at Liverpool, and they're going to want to push on all fronts and try and get as much silverware as possible. So, yeah, I think they'll be able to deal with it. And Spurs are just a funny one. I mean, they were really bad in that game against Man City the other night in the FA Cup. That, by the way, was one of the worst nights in FA Cup football I can ever remember. 3-0, a 1-1 and a 1-0. And yeah, it was just a case of, I don't know, it's just Spursiness, I guess. The fact that, I know they're playing as the champions, but at home, you fancy them to give it a bit of a go. And
one shot.
Exactly. But yeah, as soon as Saar and Bissouma come back, they'll be a completely different team yet again. And to be fair to them, they've dealt well in the interim without those key players. So,
and Son. Son's
the other one. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting for Spurs. Like you said, all eggs in one basket. And I'm not saying it's going to be a title push, but I would expect them to finish in the top four at the very least.
Yeah, I really like where Spurs are at right now. I think they're going to have a big finish of the season and really make a legitimate push for the top four here. As a United supporter, that worries me, but I mean, they've done so well in order to change the way that they play relatively quickly and deal with a lot of absences in the process and have just done really well. We'll see, but the schedule is advantageous for them going forward. I was going to actually save it for when we kind of break down the Liverpool match, but we might as well break it down now because Liverpool are top of the table. That's the big news over the last week, is that Jurgen Klopp stepping away at the end of the season. On Pinnacle, the futures plays. Man City, still your odds on at -165. Liverpool at +224. I haven't shied away. I mean, I have a futures play, Liverpool to win the Premier League. I'm feeling a little bit more confident in that play. I don't like the fixtures, how they're building up. I was hoping that they got dumped at the end of the EFL Cup. I was hoping they maybe got a more difficult draw in the FA Cup, but they have a lot of games. What does this mean? Because when you think about this, it's very much the end of an era. And I just wonder where ownership takes this club, you know, kind of going forward, who might be the heir apparent. Priority is now for Liverpool, isn't it, to go on and win and potentially go on and win the Premier League this season. So what influence, if any, does Klopp saying he's going to step away have?
I mean, it provides added motivation for the players, the fans. I think we'll see raucous Anfield atmosphere, even more so probably going down the stretch. It could be quite something to behold, really, if they are very close to that title. I'm surprised that they announced it now. I'll be honest. I thought they would have announced it at the end of the season rather than giving it this lead time, if you like. But at the end of the day, I mean, they're a smartly run football club. They are going through the midst of a rebuild anyway, in terms of refreshing the squad, refreshing the 11. It's going to be sad to see him go. He's been, you know, the main reason we've had a title race in the last three, four years, isn't he, with the way in which City have dominated. And yeah, as for the heir apparent, I mean, the obvious pick is Xabi Alonso, who's doing wonders at Bayer Leverkusen, former Liverpool player. Roberto Di Zerbi would be another good shout, potentially. Just to go in there, almost a plug and play, get Liverpool playing very similar brand of football to Brighton, in the sense of he uses his fullbacks as main attacking weapons. It's going to be interesting, but they'll definitely be playing as hard as they possibly can to try and give him the best possible send off.
We'll see. I'm still holding on to that stake in Liverpool, and I'm still comfortable, relatively speaking, in my position for now. Let's get straight into our feature five for game week 22. And let's start off with a Tuesday fixture. It's Nottingham Forest taking on Arsenal. Forest, a big underdog here at +668 on Pinnacle. The draw at +398. Arsenal at -242. It's a busy period, or it has been, relative to their competition for Nottingham Forest. A goalless draw against Bristol City in the FA Cup after getting past Blackpool 3-2 in the third round replay of the FA Cup that also took them to extra time. Chris Wood provided a winner in that game. Then they lost 3-2 at Brentford last time out in the Premier League. They played to over 2.5 and 6-7, both teams to score in 6-7. They're 3-3-4 at home. They beat Manchester United last time out at home in the Premier League. 2-1 was the final. They have the lowest home expected goals, but they're also a top five home expected goals against side, courtesy of statistical analysis by Understat. They're still missing. There are a bunch of players at the African Cup of Nations. Aina, Aurorie, Boli, Sangare, Kudiate, Niakate. All still gone. Tavares can't play this game against his parent club. Elanga, Felipe are doubts with thigh and hamstring injuries, respectively. Iwondi is close. Nuno Espirito Santo said he was training this week. The decision will be made. Seems like it would be a reach, especially from the start, perhaps being available off the bench, but certainly longer term, this is good news for Nottingham Forest. For Arsenal, sitting in third place, they're level on points, on 43 points with Man City, but City do have a game in hand. After being knocked out of the FA Cup by Liverpool and suffering three losses in a row and without a win in three games in the Premier League, they bounce back big time, an emphatic 5-0 home win over Crystal Palace. The two Gabriels scored, each with a brace. They did play that game on January 20th. They're out of the FA Cup, so that was their last game. January 7th was a game before that, so Arsenal really hasn't played much football at all. Despite the goals, they're still playing to the under 2.5 in 6 of their last 8 overall, but they're first to score in 5 of 7. Defensively, simply put, they remain solid. The second fewest goals conceded and the joint most clean sheets in the Premier League. And only City has a better expected goals against record, but they have played one fewer games. Arsenal are 5-2-3 away, but they had the best away expected goals against on the season. Two draws and two losses, however, in their last four. The last away win came all the way back against Luton Town, a wild one, 4-3 victory, a stoppage time goal, giving them the full 3 points. Tomiyasu's at the Asian Cup. Rice and Gabriel were the defender, were taken off against Crystal Palace. Seemed to be more precautionary than anything else. Head-to-head, they beat Forest 2-1 earlier this season, but Forest did beat Arsenal in this fixture 1-0 at home last season, and the two sides have played to the over 2.5 in 5 of their last 7 games. Forest remains depleted. Arsenal, an emphatic victory last time out. Can you find some value in making a play in this game, Jake?
Yeah, I think the both teams to score price is too big, -102. I was expecting it fairly shorter, to be honest, given what we've seen from Nuno's team so far. Since he's come in the league, they've played 3-2 twice, 3-1 and a 2-1, both teams scoring all of them. They've averaged 1.5 expected goals per game. But defensively, there's still question marks, especially with the amount of absentees they have there. And I'd say the same for Arsenal, to be fair. Like you said, the last away win came in a crazy 4-3 at Luton. And, you know, they haven't really looked as solid defensively as what the underlying numbers would suggest. The last away game in the league, lost to Fulham, conceded 1.5 expected goals there. So, yeah, I think that Forest, especially with Gibbs-White available, Hudson-Odoi available, Elanga is going to be touch and go. I think that front three behind Wood could cause them plenty of problems. And I think it could be quite an open game. So I thought the price on both teams score looked a little bit big. So a unit play.
All right. I'm going in a different direction than you. Arsenal to win 2-0 at +140. I just think that this is a game where Arsenal will play within themselves. I looked at that front, the exact front line that you mentioned, throw in Dominguez or whoever you want. I don't think that front line threatens that Arsenal back line much at all. Arsenal, a vastly superior team on set pieces as well. It's worthwhile bringing up. Arsenal, one of the best teams on set pieces in the Premier League. Nottingham Forest have given up the second most goals on set pieces in the Premier League this season as well. I think it's a mismatch. I'm not sure that there's value in making an overall play on Arsenal to win this game based upon how much of a favorite they are. So I looked elsewhere. I looked to the goal total. I just don't think that Forest are going to be able to put one past Arsenal. So that's the best value that I can find. Arsenal to win 2-0 at +140. And let's keep this Arsenal solid back line going. I mean, that's the backbone for this team. They like that true out now. Goal scorer, it's goals by committee, but defensively, they're rock solid for me. So let's roll with Arsenal with that bet. I'm not sure if you want to make it a head-to-head, Jake. It's kind of sounding that way, kind of has a little bit of a feel.
Yeah, I think if Forest had, you know, the likes of Sangare back and Aurier, yes, then I probably would be interested in head-to-head, but I'll pass on this one. Okay. I still like my both teams to score pick, but there are a few more. If Forest were stronger, then I'd be all over this, yeah.
That's why if Forest were stronger, I wouldn't be making this play. But if there's ever a time, it's right now. So this is going to be a tough one for Forest, even though they're playing at home, a place where they played decent over the course of the season. So both full unit plays here on this one. Mine's a full unit play. Yours too, Jake. Yep. So full unit plays for both of us. Let's continue on. It's the final fixture of the four games on Tuesday. It's Aston Villa against Newcastle. Villa, you can play them on a for the win on Pinnacle at -106. The draw at +294. Newcastle at +276. Oh, have the times changed, especially considering in the first game of the season, Newcastle dominant thrashed Aston Villa. It was a 5-1 final in that game. Villa, the story is their home form. They're fourth place in the Premier League table. Level on points, 43 with both Arsenal and City. A goalless draw at Stamford Bridge in the FA Cup for Aston Villa. A goalless draw at Everton in the league the time before. And a 1-0 win at Middlesbrough is how the team fared in the three games in January. All three games were away, mind you, and they haven't lost in four overall. Aston Villa have gone 11 games without a loss at home in all competitions. Incredible. In the Premier League, they have the most points at home. 9-1-0. That's 28 points. That's more points than anyone else. Villa, Liverpool, and City, by the way, are the only teams in the Premier League without a loss at home thus far. It's interesting. Despite their success at home, they're only fifth when it comes to expected points, courtesy of understats at home. 29 home goals is the most. 8 conceded is the joint fewest. Torres, Ramsey, Digne are all doubts. I would err on the side of probably not playing for all three. Duran is absolutely out, so a little bit of attacking depth has come out of the team. Newcastle, in 10th place, they're actually level on points with 11th place Wolves, so they're in some serious danger of dropping somehow, some way into the bottom half of the table. They came away with a much-needed 2-0 FA Cup win over Fulham. They have 4 straight losses in the Premier League heading in into this, now including a 3-2 loss to Man City last time out. They played to over 2.5 and 4-5 in all competitions. Back-to-back away wins in the FA Cup, but before that, 5 straight away losses in all competitions, with 4 of those coming in the Premier League. If you look at the away table, I mean, Newcastle are 1-2-7 away from home in the Premier League. That's just wild. 5 points on their travels in the Premier League. That's it. It's the second worst away record in the Premier League. And expected points, it's almost 6 more points than they actually have. So although they have been competitive, the results simply haven't gone their way. Injuries continue to be a significant issue. Murphy is back in the team, but Joe Linton's likely done for the season or the vast majority of it. Trippier did come off against Fulham. They're saying he re-aggravated something, but it shouldn't be much of a concern, but we'll see. Head-to-head, as I mentioned, 5-1 Newcastle on opening day, but Villa won this fixture 3-0 last season. An interesting one here, Jake. There's a lot of plays that you could make that wouldn't surprise me. I'm curious which way you're going to take this.
I'm just going to keep it simple and back Villa to win. I think that price is probably not I think it's too big. -106 is what we're getting currently. You said it. Villa at home have been sensational. Underlying process as well as results. 2.27 expected goals for, 0.98 against. So they don't concede a lot of good chances and they create plenty. And Newcastle, exactly the opposite on the flip side. Shipping nearly 2.4 expected goals against on the travels, which is horrendous. I mean, it's been really, really bad. And I think if we all remember, think back to that first game of the season, the 5-1, it wasn't a 5-1 game at all, in the sense that Villa were much better than what that scoreline suggested. The high line got picked to pieces by pundits and everybody. who had an opinion on it, but it's one of the best things that's been brought to the Premier League in recent years in the sense of the risk reward, especially with VAR and the way in which the offsides are measured nowadays. And I think there was just a few teething issues. They had a Darren Mings go off injured early, who knew the system, knows how Emery wanted it. Pau Torres came in and it was his first game in English football and lit rabbit in headlights, caught out quite a few times. And now he's settled, looks really good. I think that
if he plays,
yeah. Well, if he doesn't play, I don't think it makes too much of a difference, given the way in which Villa have played and the way in which Unai Emery sets his team up. Yeah, I just think that this is a really good opportunity for Villa to get back on track and get back to winning against a good team, a team that probably will finish the season fairly strongly, given that now they've got a full complement back almost. I've got faith and I trust Villa at Villa Park that they're going to get the job done here. And yeah, that Newcastle away form is massively concerning.
It is, but I think we learned something about that first game of the season. Both teams have adapted. Newcastle in a very different place. But if Villa try to play this high line, I think there can be goals in this game. I'm tempted to play the goal total, but I think I prefer for Newcastle to keep this one relatively tight. I think they can come away with something in this game. As we documented, Aston Villa, I mean, Jake, their home form has been sensational, but the expected points on understat has them about 6 less points than they've actually picked up. Liverpool, it's the opposite story. They should have, according to the expected point total, have about 6 more points than they actually have right now. Now, I'm fully aware that that leaves a gap between where Aston Villa's expected point total is and where Newcastle's expected point total is. Villa haven't been knocking my socks off over the last month and change. They haven't. I think they've come back down to earth to a certain degree. I still think that they're a very good team. There's a lot to like, but I don't think that Newcastle's this bad either. I think that the truth is somewhere in between. That was an important FA Cup win for Newcastle, not just to advance into competition because they're out of the Champions League as well. This is they're going to put a lot of focus on it, but to give them some confidence playing away from home. Fulham's a decent home side. Not a great home side, but a decent enough side. And Newcastle made it look very comfortable as well. So give me Newcastle on the handicap here. The handicap set at 0.5 a goal. So a winner or a Newcastle Aston Villa draw is a win. And I'm going to take that at -105 for a full unit play. I think there's a little bit of value there. So a full unit play, looking at things a little bit different on this one.
Yeah. Do you want to head to head on this one?
Yeah, we can go ahead to head on this one.
Yeah.
So you get the Villa win and I get a Newcastle win or a draw in this one as well. All right. Interesting. Nice. I need to correct myself. There are 5 games on Tuesday, not 4. Slow. Just leave it at that. Then we're going to spin back to another game that's actually being played on Tuesday. They're all around. They're all being played from 7:45 to 8:15 local time on Tuesday. And the next game we're going to dig into is Spurs and Brentford. Spurs on the win at -150 on Pinnacle. The draw +334. An away win for Brentford. +383. Spurs are in fifth. They're on 40 points and a 5-point gap over 6th place West Ham. They lost 1-0 to City in the FA Cup at home. We already touched on it. They're outshot 18-1, but it took until the 80th minute. A little bit of controversy as well, the way the goal was scored. Nathan Ake finished it off a set piece. And that's what happened last time out. They played to a 2-2 draw at Old Trafford with a very limited squad before that. But Spurs are 4-1-1 in their last 6 in the Premier League. 4 straight home wins in all competitions before the FA Cup loss for Spurs. 7-0-3 in the Premier League, but just 11th best in terms of expected points, courtesy of understat. Their back 4 is healthy and available. That's the good news. The bad news, Sar, Basuma, Son all still away, and Lo Celso looks like he's out for this one as well. Brentford up to 14th place now, 22 points in 20 games. They do have a game in hand on most of the field. Ivan Toney came back, and the wins came back as well. 3-2 over Nottingham Forest back on January 20th. Toney scored the opening goal in that game. I think we predicted that, Jake, as well. It's a big lift to a team that was desperately in need of it. They still don't have a clean sheet in their last 12 in all competitions. They played over 2.5 in 5 of 6, and both teams to score has played in the last 6 games. Away form hasn't been good, 2-1-6 in the Premier League, but they do have a better expected goals and expected goals against, which is indicative of having the 7th highest number in terms of expected points. 5 straight losses away from home in all competitions. However, Godos and Onyeka still away on international duty, and all the big dogs still out as well. They need Risa back. I mean, Congo won their last game, so he's going to continue on there. Reguilón cannot play against his parent club. Head-to-head, it was 2-2 opening day. Brentford won 3-1 at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium last season. No losses in 4 in head-to-head for Brentford, and both teams to score has played in the last 3 meetings. I like goals in this fixture. How can you not? I'm just wondering what you might be seeing here in terms of where the value might be.
Yeah, I think goals is definitely a play worth considering. I'm going to go fishing a little bit bigger.
Oof.
And take Spurs to win and both teams to score at plus 201. Yes, Spurs are missing plenty of key players, especially, you know, Son, Bissouma, Sarr. But that front line, I think, should be more than enough to score a couple of times against Brentford, especially with the likes of Bentancur back in the middle, being able to thread passes through. Kulusevski, having him back fit and available, is pretty big as well. And you've got Richarlison, Brennan Johnson and Werner. I think Spurs win this. I don't think there's any as much value in taking them straight win at minus 150. But if you had both teams to score, especially now Tony's back for Brentford, I think we'll start seeing them score plenty more goals than what they did in the first half of the season. But defensively, as they showed against Nottingham Forest, they're still a very vulnerable team without, you know, quite a lot of players that they're missing too. So I think this could be a good opportunity to back a big price. Spurs to win and both teams to score.
Yeah, I like that price. I was intrigued by it. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to go to the alternate game total of over 3 at minus 124. It has to be a very different approach than you saw against City in the FA Cup. Despite not having Son in the team, Kulusevski did come back in, didn't play against Manchester United. There's more than enough to challenge a fragile Brentford back line. They did bring in another goalkeeper in the January window. They do need, I'm more concerned about their midfield, to be honest. Like, Norgaard, is he going to play? Like, they're a little bit of a different team without him. I think this one could be combative. And I think there's goals in it. So over 3 at minus 124, a full unit play. Brentford's such an interesting one. They just, you know, they look like they could close up shop when they needed to last season. And this season, just anything but it, Jake. And we all know it's been well documented the way that Spurs play. With that high line, can Tony take advantage? Mopé's been getting a lot of run out. And he's just sometimes just a pain in the you know what to play against if he has more talented players around him. And that's exactly what Ivan Toney is. So, I'm looking for the goals to continue in this one. Anything else to add?
Not really. We're on the same lines.
Other than the fact that I screwed up my day again because that game's being played on Wednesday. My notes aren't matching what the actual fixture. This is what happens when we're out of our natural rhythm. It's throwing me off. I do know that this game is going to be played on Wednesday. And it should be a really good one. The fixture of the week for a lot of people. It's Liverpool and Chelsea. Liverpool playing at Anfield. Still the feelings about Jurgen Klopp. That was the big news over the course of the last week, that Klopp is stepping down at the end of the season. A Liverpool win, you can play it at Pinnacle of minus 168. The draw plus 356. Circle that number. And Chelsea, a win at plus 425. This, of course, is a little bit of a dress rehearsal for the Carabao Cup final, which will be played on February 25th. Liverpool first, leaders by 5, but City do have a game in hand. Liverpool coming off that 5-2 victory over Norwich City in the FA Cup, still unbeatable at home. 6 games they played in January. Like, they played some football in the month while others did not. They're going to be in the EFL Cup final. 4 goals in wins over Newcastle and Bournemouth in the Premier League. No losses in 9 overall for Liverpool, and no losses in their last 14 games in the Premier League as well. 8-2-0 at home on the season. Only Villa have more points than their 26. They do have the best expected goals at 29-10 and the second best home expected goals against, courtesy of Understat as well. Better, even better news for Liverpool. Robertson and Trent both played off the bench on the weekend. They get their both, they're potentially to start both their fullbacks back this weekend. McAllister was held out. It was precautionary. He looks good to go. Salah injured away while away with Egypt. He's going to be out. But the good news is Diaz and Nunez have really found their form. And Endo's still away at the Asian Cup. Chelsea's in ninth place, but they're starting to move in the right direction, aren't they? On 31 points and 4 points behind West Ham for sixth. They are going to an EFL Cup final, like I mentioned. A 6-1 home win against Middlesbrough. Goalless draw with Villa in the FA Cup on Friday. Chelsea are 5-1-1 in their last seven overall, and the only loss came against or at Middlesbrough in the FA Cup or in the EFL Cup, I should say, first leg fixture. 3 wins in 3 in the Premier League after Christmas for Chelsea as well. 4-1-5 away from home in the league. 17 goals scored, 17 conceded. Still with the third best expected goals, courtesy of Understat. Jackson still away at the AFCON. And Cuckoo was training this week. How close is he? Does Pochettino need to proceed with caution? Probably, but he could be available off the bench for this one. Head-to-head, it was an opening day 1-1 draw, because that's what these teams do. 7 straight draws between these teams. The 4 before the 1-1 were goalless. Do you see this one ending in a draw as well, Jake?
I do not know. I'd be very shocked if this ends in a draw.
That's what they do. Yeah. They play to draws.
Yeah, I think we've seen enough of both teams this season to suggest this is going to be much, much more entertaining than what we've seen recently between these. Not only have they ended in draws, they've usually ended up 0-0. But yeah, I'm fairly confident Liverpool are going to win this. Chelsea just remain a little bit of an enigma. Sometimes they look brilliant. Other times they look really, really bad. Usually recently they've saved the worst games for away matches. Losing at Wolves, they were very poor. They were lucky to escape Luton with a 3 points in the end. Lost at Everton as well. Lost at Manchester United badly as well in that game, conceding a load of chances. And the flip side, you've got a Liverpool team that are just relentless at home. They just continue to batter teams at home. This season, they've played 17 home games in all competitions. They've won 14, unbeaten in that time as well. And in the league, they're averaging 2.9 expected goals for per game and 0.96 against. So it's a frightening prospect heading to Anfield. And even without Salah, they've looked really dangerous in attack. Even without Trent, they've looked solid, but also more than capable of creating chances. So yeah, I'm going to take Liverpool on the handicap. The line is -1. So if they win by a goal, we get a push. If they win by 2 goals, we get a winner. And I can see them winning this with a couple of goals in hand. So yeah, -1 at -102 is the play I'm making.
You mentioned Chelsea against teams like Man United, some of the most, you know, some fixtures. I mean, I feel like they're a little bit of a different team now. Chilwell's back in the team. I mean, that's a big addition to come back into this group. We're still missing players, but there's a little bit more to them. When teams play one another the way that these teams do, and the fact that the Carabao Cup's coming up, I have to approach it a little bit differently. Like, I really don't like playing draws. Overall, I just, you know, if you listen to this podcast, I very rarely play them. I'm tempted at +354. I really, really am. I just cannot get myself to make that play. But I will approach it as if this one could end in a draw. Let's go Chelsea on the handicap. +1. A full goal is a big number here for Chelsea going to Anfield the way that these two teams have played one another. And I get what you're saying. Like, Liverpool have looked good. They absolutely smashed Bournemouth. Like, away 4-0, and they've looked convincing. They put up some big totals, but I still think he might have to be a little bit careful with Robertson and Trent over the short term. Maybe, perhaps this game comes at a decent enough time for Chelsea. Give me Chelsea on the handicap here, plus a full goal at -108. You're giving me a little bit more juice there as well, just a little bit, but it's enough. I'll take a sip. That's going to be my play. And let's hope that they make it a great eight in terms of times that they've drawn in a row. That's what I'm banking on here, Jake. The draw would be great. Are you tempted at all? Do you play draws? What's your approach to it?
Sometimes. I much prefer playing draws in knockout competitions, just because they generally are cagier and you do know the goal expectancy drops quite drastically. But yeah, I'd always be very, very, very wary of playing draws, especially when you've got a rampant home team like Liverpool, even Man City. I would very rarely look at back in a draw. I think sometimes if you think it's going to be a draw, taking the goal line reduces the margin for error quite a bit, because generally if it's a draw, it's a low scoring game, as opposed to it being like, you don't see many 3-3s. You might get the occasional 2-2, but you're generally a 1-1 or a 0-0. So no. That would be my advice. If you think it's going to be a draw, look at the goal line. And in this occasion, what you're getting, three and a quarter, so it's quite a high goal line already. You take the unders, and if you know ends up in a draw, you're more than likely going to end up with a winner.
This is also the type of game, like, look, McAllister's been brilliant for this Liverpool side. I don't know how fit he is. I think he's good enough to obviously play. But is he playing at 100% right now? I don't know. There's a lot of games upcoming for Liverpool. Endo out for a game like this. Like, this is a game where, like, Enzo and company and Gallagher and a really good Chelsea midfield, they need to step up and be able to control this game. If they can't, I think that Liverpool could be in for a lot of joy here. But I'm banking on them being able to keep things competitive in the midfield area. I think it's going to be a crucial part of this game. So we'll see. Mopo's getting more to this Chelsea side. I wouldn't have backed them a month ago, but I'm in position that I can do so with relatively decent confidence heading into this one. Let's put it that way. So let's move on to the final of our five. Are we down to four already? Yeah, Liverpool. Yeah. Wow. Just flying along here. It's a Thursday fixture. It's Wolves and Manchester United. Wolves to win this one, plus 178, the drop plus 254, United a small away favorite somehow in this one on Pinnacle at plus 156. So evenly matched odds in this one, United a slight favorite. We'll get into that. It's eyebrow raising to say the least. Wolves, they're 11th place, looking to move in the top half of the table, 29 points through 20 games played. They're coming off a 2-0 win at West Brom in the FA Cup, a game marred by fan violence. A goalless draw with Brighton in the league before that, which I know ruined my week. I think yours as well, Jake. How did that happen? No losses in six overall. They played to over 2.5 in 5-7, 3 wins, and a draw in their last 4 in the Premier League. Gary O'Neill, what a season he's had at Wolves. No losses in their last 9 overall at the Molyneux. Some big results against big teams as well. That stretch includes the win over Man City as well. 5-2-3 at home in the Premier League. Huang Yi-Chan still away at the Asian Cup. Cunha's been on fire for this team. And Neto was back in the goals on the weekend as well. United sit in 8th place on 32 points. The story with United, Rashford, discipline or lack thereof, Ineos taking over, and game after game is just showing the magnitude of the job that Ineos has to do at that club. It's highlighted more by the day. United, a little bit of a nervous win, 4-2 over Newport County. It's very Manchester United. It's on brand to go up 2-0, to give away 2 goals and go level, but this time they finished the job with 2 late goals. Antony actually scored in that one, and Hoyland put it on ice late. I guess it's good news for United. Like, Martinez featured last time out against Spurs coming off the bench, but he started that game. Casemiro and Shaw back into the team as well. Bayinder played as well, as the Onana dysfunction at the African Cup of Nations has come to an end. He's going to be back on Thursday, whether he plays or not. If you're a betting man, I am. I'm saying that he's starting on Thursday. Rashford, he partied in Belfast and was kept out of the team. At the time of recording, we're not sure what that situation is going to be look like for Thursday. 12 goals in their last 5 games in all competition for Manchester United. So at least that's a positive. But they're starting, man, just like all season, they just concede soft goals on the regular. 4-1-5 away from home, I should say. a draw at Liverpool and three losses in their last four away in the league. And they just scored one away goal, and that's over the course of that span. 13 points away from home, but their expected points are just 9, and that puts them 5th from the bottom in that category on understat. 10.92 expected goals in 10 away games for Manchester United. Yikes. Martial's been ruled out for months. Who cares? Amrabat is away with Morocco still. Mount and Lindelof are getting close to returning as well. So Erik ten Hag certainly has more options at his disposal for this fixture. Head-to-head, of course, it was a controversial 1-0 win. It was a foul that wasn't given, heard around the world. Apparently, it only happens to Manchester United and no one else. Ho-hum. As Onana looked to have committed a foul in stoppage time, no penalty given. United won that game. So 3 wins and 3 clean sheets in a row for United over Wolves in the head-to-head. These two sides have played to under 2.5 in their last 5, and United have been the first to score in 6 of 7. I mean, United are the most difficult team, I'll continue to say this, to make a play with or to make a play against in the Premier League, because you're not quite sure what to expect every time out. What do you make of this one, though? Like, there's no chance I can put money on Manchester United going into this game. Looks like there could be some value with the home side. Is that the way that you're looking at things?
Yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm taking Wolves to win the game at plus 181. So the line's moved a little bit from, I think you said 178. It's moved out a little bit. I think it'll only get shorter as we get to kickoff. I think it'll go the other way. Yeah, Wolves continue to look really good, especially at home. They've won 5 of an unbeaten 8 at home, which includes winning against Manchester City, drawing with Villa, drawing with Newcastle, beating Spurs, beating Chelsea, beating a decent Everton team. But just in general, I mean, the only bad performance they've put in recently has come at West Ham, where they were well beaten 3-0. But every other game, they've been very competitive, even losing at Arsenal. They lost at Fulham, lost at Sheffield United, but they've been very competitive every single game. And I think that we're going to get a rocking Molyneux after the big result of the weekend. They, as you said, Pedro Neto's back, and he is probably the most important player. I know Huang scored all the goals, but Pedro Neto just provides something completely different for them. I think that they'll still be a little bit upset, angry, feel aggrieved about what happened on the opening day, where they definitely outplayed United and deserved at least a draw. They'll just keep doing what they're doing. And as for Man United, it's, as you said, that the away performances have been shocking, as the expected points suggest. I don't really know what else to say about them, really, because I backed against them against Nottingham Forest and that paid out for me at West Ham as well. They've just really struggled, A, to create chances on the road, but also just to pick up any kind of points recently away from home. Winless in the last 4 away from home. The last win was actually at Goodison Park with the Garnacho overhead kick, and completely outplayed them in that game as well. So if this does go to form, then I can't see anything other than a home win. So I'm quite happy to take them at that price.
Okay. Yes, it has moved out. I can't believe it's moving in that direction. It shocks me. By the way, the Asian handicap, it's like a draw, no bet. Wolves plus 106. It's screaming my name. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to resist the temptation, because one thing I do know about Manchester United, getting these players back is going to have a substantial influence, I think, in a very good way from an attacking perspective. Rashford, no Rashford, the fact that Luke Shaw's back in this team, it just helps this team so much from an attacking perspective, because they actually have 2 fullbacks who can get forward and actually distribute a little bit. And Martinez at center back, he's a very good distributor of the ball. And I think they've lacked that a little bit. It's been stale. It's been slow at the back. I think that this picks up the tempo. What I also do know about Manchester United is that they cannot defend as individuals or a team. Like, I think Wolves can score multiple goals here. Wolves over a goal and a half total at plus 137. I'm making a play on that, a half play, half unit play on Wolves to score 2 goals in this game. So it was over a goal and a half at plus 137. I think United can score goals in this game as well, because Wolves aren't the cleanest team either. I know United have only scored 1 goal in the last 4 away games, but they have shown signs of life being much more of a complete attacking unit. And like I said, I think those players will help. I'm going to go over the total of 2.75 in terms of the goal total at -103. Getting a little bit more juice there as well. I know you're giving up the half goal, but I think it could be in the four goal range because how bad United are at defending and how much pressure an aggressive pressing Wolves team and the mistakes that they cause, I think it plays into their hands as well. So that's going to be a full unit play. So a full unit play on the total and a half unit play on the Wolves goal total as well. And let's hope that there's lots of goals to speak of in this game. Do you see there being goals in this game, or maybe am I barking up the wrong tree here?
I think so. I think goals are coming. Wolves can't defend. They do give you chances, but they are very dangerous in attack. So I could see it's been a 2-1, 3-1, that kind of game.
All right. Our feature five, wrapped up, done and dusted. Let's go to rapid fire. Luton Town and Brighton, the game's going to be played on Tuesday. Do you have a play in this one?
No bet for me on this one. Tough one to call.
No bet. I'll just... Full unit play. Both teams to score, yes, over 2.5, even odds. That's +100 on Pinnacle. That's my Brighton hand-in-pocket play. Luton Town playing at Kenilworth Road caused all kinds of havoc. Their numbers are actually really good at home. Haven't lost in four. Both teams to score have played in 5 of 6. Brighton have played back-to-back draws in the Premier League. This is going to be a little bit of a reset as well. They won this fixture 4-1. In the first game of the season. Luton Town at home, and at this juncture, a very different side. Brighton are finally health, like they have some real good options in this team. And although back-to-back games they didn't score in the Premier League, in the FA Cup, goals were flying in. I wouldn't talk you out of playing the goal total as well, over 3 at +101. That's an option, but both teams to score. Yes, over 2.5 at even money. Fulham and Everton also on Tuesday. This one's a tough one for me to predict. Jake, what about you?
I'm going to take Everton on the handicap.
Woo!
Plus naught, we are getting, it was +114.
+112.
It's now +112. Yes, it's a decent plus money number. Yeah, away from home, they've done the best work this season in terms of winning matches, Everton. They've won 5 of their 10, which actually puts them as the 6th best away team in terms of points collected. Process is solid. I think Fulham at home, Everton, the recent form looks bad. It's 3 defeats and a draw the last 4 league games. But they played Spurs, City, Aston Villa and away at Wolves, who we've just said are a very strong home team. So they've had a very tough schedule. And Fulham at home, it's been the opposite. I know they beat Arsenal, but before that, they had a very favourable schedule. They just remain very vulnerable defensively. So I do still have my concerns around Fulham. I'm going to take a little punt on Everton.
Okay. I'm just deciding which one I want to make. Let's go both teams to score no at +110. I like the way that both teams play. They played to the under these two sides 4-5. I'm not sure who's going to win this game. I think that Everton have crashed down to earth a little bit. I think they look a little bit fatigued and they're missing some of their midfield engine in Doucouré, Idrissa Gueye. When they play with Onana in the midfield, there's a lot of legs. There's a lot of activity. Things have slowed down a little bit. I think James Garner's a fine player, but I just don't think that they can go play that all out rock and roll style that they do. Fulham, I like the methodology. I like the way they play. They played some really tough games in both cups over the course of the last month. It's just whether they have enough finish. Like Jimenez has come to life and kind of shown some of the form cracked skull. Raul Jimenez, and he's been much better. But overall, the team just lacks something in the attacking third. So I think it's going to be low scoring. And that, for me, looks to be the best value. Both teams to score no at +110. The final game on Tuesday, Crystal Palace and Sheffield United. The first thing I do when looking at Palace is Olise playing? The answer is no, but they are playing at home against Sheffield United. After all, Jake, do you have a play here?
No bet. No, nothing for me. Can't trust Crystal Palace.
Similarly speaking... Like, Palace haven't had a goal in their last three games. But Sheffield United haven't had a win away from home all season. Oh, they played to the under 2.5 in their last six times these two teams have made. But the goal, the total is at 2.25. Do you know what? I am going to make a play. I'm going to go under 2.5 goals at minus 129, a full unit play.
Yeah, I can see it being low scoring, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I was always looking to the under. There's just enough for me to make that play. Yeah, let's make that a full unit play. Wednesday, Man City and Burnley. Some statistics that jump off the page. City won 12 straight against Burnley. They've had 8 clean sheets in a row against Burnley. They haven't lost to Burnley in their last 17, and Burnley haven't had a clean sheet against Man City in 17. City have also been the first to score in this fixture in the last 10 times they've played. This is as one-sided as it gets. Haaland might play some kind of role, potentially off the bench in this one as well. Is there a number here that you like?
Not for me. No, winter nil is a bit too short. The handicap, it was tempting to take City on the handicap because they usually whoop Burnley, but Sheffield United went there, kept it close. I just wonder if it might be one of those second gear wins for City where they kind of go one or two up and take the foot off the gas and start saving. Yeah. So I'm going no bet for that, unfortunately.
That's why I'm making a full unit play, Man City first half on the Asian handicap, a full goal at minus 123. I kind of feel it could be one of those as well where they get a goal or two in the first 25, 30 minutes of this game and kind of just sit on it. They might concede a soft one. Who knows? That's the way I'm playing this, is that City will kind of take any hope or life out of Burnley in the first half and maybe just go into cruise control from there. And finally on Thursday, I think this game could be pretty good as well. West Ham and Bournemouth. What do you make of this one?
I'm going to ride with my cherries again. I'm taking them on the handicap. I know they got a good beat down by Liverpool last time they played in the Premier League, but it's always going to be difficult playing that pressing, that high pressing style against a good Liverpool team. I think it could well suit them against West Ham. West Ham looked really bad against Sheffield United. I know they've got Kudus back in after Garner got eliminated. Bowen started against Sheffield United, and again, they didn't look very good in attack. Probably a different proposition at home, but I just feel as though Bournemouth have got a different gear than what West Ham have got. I'm going to take them on the handicap. Plus north, obviously, it ends in a draw. We get our money back. If Bournemouth win, we get a nice winner at plus 104.
Right. West Ham have been very good at home. They're undefeated in their last 9. Calvin Phillips joins them. Edson Álvarez, by the way, has missed out on recent games for West Ham. He's coming back in. And Kudus as well, especially, you know, Benrahma's out. Koufal is suspended for this one. Agard is still away. Bournemouth are just missing their left back, Okara, but they got the... That's kind of what happened against Liverpool. They lost their balance on the left side, and it just kind of all crumbled for them. It was a 1-1.
Is it Kirkez back?
Kirkez is back in the
against
team.
Swansea.
I believe he came off the bench, and they smashed Swansea as well. Yeah, I think Bournemouth is pretty competitive here. Let's go Bournemouth on the draw no bet at plus 104. I'll follow your lead. I think they can go steal here. So I'll back the Cherries as well. West Ham, although they've been good at home, they haven't won in the last 4 games. They haven't been that, like Bristol City, they just looked a little, we'll see what kind of mindset, what kind of shape Kudus is coming back. This might be a game too early for me to back West Ham. I'm certainly not ruling them out. And Calvin Phillips coming to the team, I think Álvarez will be preferred. Enough said. I follow your lead. Bournemouth on the Asian handicap. John Obet at plus 104. Anything else this week, Jake? A favorite play, a favorite bet?
Favorite bet? Probably Spurs to win and both teams to score.
Okay.
I like the price. I think it's got a real chance.
Okay. I'm not sure what my favorite bet is, but this goes back to what we were saying before. There hasn't been regular Premier League football for so long. I think that there's a little bit of doubt heading into this week. So if you're a little bit more conservative with your plays, I completely get it. A little bit of watch and brief, even though I think I have 11 bets in 10 games as well this week. We do our best to provide you with what our feel is on this podcast and provide you as much data and information so you can make educated decisions, as do our friends at The Hammer. Rob Pozzola is all over Pinnacle's NFL coverage. We're heading into the Super Bowl, where the line has already shifted. The Chiefs, a little bit of an underdog with Mahomes. They were underdog the last 2 weeks, and I hammered the Chiefs and came out a happy man because they're going to be playing the San Francisco 49ers, as somehow, some way, the Detroit Lions couldn't take them out and punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. It's going to be in Vegas, baby, in 2 weeks' time. Pozzola has you taken care of, plus written previews as well. Ben Brown, Scott Cullen, and company. Go to Pinnacle, their website, for complete coverage ahead of this year's Super Bowl. Do you have a play in the Super Bowl yet? Are you still kind of weighing your options, Jake?
Yeah, I'll be weighing my options. We've got a couple of weeks, yeah, haven't we? So, I definitely think that it's a tough one because the Niners have got so much more firepower than the Chiefs, but the Chiefs D is playing really well at the minute, and Spags is just, he cooks up a game plan, doesn't he? I think he'll have something. So I probably will be leaning towards the Chiefs with the points.
Already made my plays. The number came out, Chiefs plus 2.5. I hit it. It already moved out to Chiefs plus 1.5 and Chiefs money line. That was the, that's the play. I just, you know, when you're getting plus 120 for the Chiefs to go on a win, which is realistic to think that Patrick Mahomes would win a Super Bowl game. It's not as if he hasn't done it before against Brock Purdy. And of course, the Taylor Swift factor. Does the NFL, like, they want Taylor Swift to win this game for the world, for their brand?
Yeah.
You know, look, I was one of those fools that always thought that I could be smarter than everyone else by fading Tom Brady. I'm not going to, I don't make the same mistake with Patrick Mahomes at all. So that's our early, feel like we could do Super Bowl talk here on Premier League Insights. So yeah, there you go. Follow along with Jake at Jake Oz, myself at Gareth Wheeler, Gareth.Wheeler on Instagram. We'll do this all again at the end of the week. Midweek fixtures, weekend fixtures. We're back, baby. We're back. You seem thrilled about it, Jake.
I'm buzzing, honestly, just to get Premier League football back. And then we've got Champions League as well soon. Like, this is the time of the season. Now we've got all the rubbish FA Cup out of the way. This is where it gets serious.
A grim January makes way for a much brighter February. It's a leap year as well, so more football coming your way in the month of February. On behalf of Jake and everyone at Pinnacle, I am Gareth Wheeler. This has been Premier League Insights for Game Week 22.